Good morning.
Good morning.
Fundamentally, the idea behind this panel was to present different notions or different concepts of class conflict in Brazil, continued forms of class conflict, primarily in the northeastern region of Brazil, in a historical perspective. Time periods in different economic groups in the northeastern region of Brazil. Originally, there were three presentations you made. The first one is by Professor Frederico Neves, and he is a professor of history at the Federal University in Fortaleza, in Ceará. A second by Dr. Berenice Abreu, who couldn't make it, and she was to present on the movement of fishing on the northeastern coast of Brazil. And the third presentation is my own. My name is William Mello, and my presentation is going to be on right-wing working class organizations in the state of Seattle. So, as we're missing one of our presenters, I think it's even for the better, because what we'll do is I'm going to, Professor Neves is going to present his work in Portuguese, and I will translate. So, it'll be a little bit more time consuming, but I think it'll be more effective that way. So if you read a part of it, and then I'll translate it for me, and I'll translate it. I think that's the best way to go. So we'll start off with Professor Neves' presentation, and then I'll do mine, and we'll then open up for the debate. That sound okay? So let's get started.
Good morning, people. Sorry for that, my English is very bad, but we had no time to translate all the text, and I'll tell you a little story first, and then I came to discuss some things around. In 12 de maio de 1951, um grupo formado por centenas de camponeses arruinados pela seca perambulava ameaçadoramente pelas ruas centrais de Itapajé, uma cidade pequena no Ceará, Brasil, com mais ou menos 2.200 habitantes em 1950. Rondando as lojas de alimentos, cercando o mercado municipal, concentrando-se em pequenos grupos nas esquinas, movimentados nas proximidades da feira, procurando meios para satisfazer suas necessidades imediatas.
On May 12, 1951, hundreds of peasants, impoverished peasants, began conglomerating throughout the city of Itapajé, in the Brazilian countryside, gathering in small groups on street corners and concentrating around grocery stores, food warehouses, near the public market, seeking to satisfy their most immediate necessities.
Casas comerciais fecharam suas portas e o clima de tensão aumentava à medida em que uma quantidade significativa de pobres urbanos incorporava seu grupo, dando-lhe áreas ainda mais ameaçadoras e indefinidas. A multidão heterogênea de pobres, ora reunia-se em grupos grandes nos espaços abertos às praças, ora dispersava-se em pequenos núcleos nas esquinas, talvez em busca da maneira mais várias áreas rurais de Itapajé e de vários municípios vizinhos, além das obras empreendidas nas redondezas por alguns órgãos do governo.
It's somewhat heterogeneous mass that at times of the port that intermittently joining in large groups in the public squares, other times dispersing into smaller groups on street corners. They seem to be seeking the most effective way to get food, clothing, and medicine before returning triumphantly to their encampments located on the outskirts of the city, where their family members waited anxiously. Most have come from the rural areas of Itapajé and surrounding cities, as well as from public working camps organized by state entities.
Mais tarde, a multidão foi se concentrando nas proximidades da prefeitura municipal e alguns oradores se manifestavam, subindo em grupos de praça, em palanques improvisados, informando a todos sobre as necessidades mais prementes e sobre as formas de satisfazê-las junto às autoridades locais. Uma fragmentada conversação com alguns funcionários já se estabelecia quando as portas se abriram e o grupo todo invadiu desordenadamente o prédio, ocupando toda a sua área central, suas salas de entrada, seus espaços internos. O caos estava instalado quando o prefeito Raimundo Vieira Filho procurou negociar com a multidão.
As it neared midday, the massive impoverished peasants began to gather near the city hall. While some, improvising on park benches, made speeches pointing out to the most immediate needs and making themselves be heard, and trying to make themselves be heard by local authorities, a somewhat frustrating discussion had begun with some city officials when the doors of City Hall opened up, prompting its immediate invasion. In a disorganized manner, the group quickly occupied the main hall as well as the surrounding offices of the city administration. The chaotic situation had worsened by the time the mayor, Raimundo Vieira Filho, sought out to negotiate with the demonstrators.
Os oradores se sucedem na tribuna, ressaltando a miséria das famílias, as agruras da seca e a urgência em atender os pedidos da multidão. Falam da justiça dessa ação, das demandas apresentadas, destacando a fome reinante no campo e as dificuldades das mulheres e das crianças. Enfatizam o dever das autoridades municipais em atender imediatamente esses pedidos, distribuindo gêneros alimentícios, roupas e remédios.
The wave of speakers that took the trip in the tribunal, or the stand, which is actually a small wooden bench, reminded all of their miserable situation, worsened by the drought and the urgency of a solution to their demands. Defending their actions, the speakers called attention to the rampant hunger in the rural areas and the difficulties faced by women and children. The rebellious peasants likewise emphasized the duty of the public authorities to immediately address their demands by distributing food, clothing, and medicine to the poor.
Repetem que são trabalhadores acossados pela seca e não vagabundos. E o que querem não são de molas, e sim um trabalho honesto com pagamento justo. Entre os oradores destacam-se José Ferreira de Melo, Edson Bastos Carneiro e um outro trabalhador identificado apenas por Sato. O prefeito justifica sua impotência pelo pouco tempo que está à frente da prefeitura e por ter verbas suficientes para uma compra desse povo. Repete que a solução da questão não está em suas mãos. Por outro lado, lembra que a construção de um açude chamado Raposa, no município vizinho de Pentecostes, está sendo iniciada. Os trabalhadores poderiam ser lá alistados pelo órgão público e poderiam obter, pelo trabalho, os livros necessários à sobrevivência.
So, in between the demands, the protesters repeatedly claim that they are reminding the officials that they are workers and not vagabonds. Who are looking for a handout. But they're not seeking charity, but they're seeking work and fair wages. Among the speakers who stand out are José Ferreira Melo, Edson Bastos Carneiro, and a third worker identified only as Sá. In response to the mounting conflict, the mayor claims that it's impossible to meet their demands, reasoning that
been in office only a short time, and he lacks the financial resources to make such a sizable purchase of food and other resources into the local market. And that the only solution to the problem, and that the solution to the problem is out of his hands. The mayor, however, reminds the crowd that as soon as we initiated the public work projects in the neighboring city of Pentecost, and that the workers should sign up with these organs where they would obtain work and the basic necessities for their survival.
Camponeses ficaram satisfeitos com a oferta de trabalho e se dispersaram, organizando-se pacificamente, conforme a indicação do próprio prefeito, para o alistamento no açude Raposa. Depois disso, retornaram aos acampamentos, reuniram as famílias e deslocaram-se para Pentecostes. O desfecho do conflito parecia, portanto, tranquilo para todos. Mas poucas horas depois, o carpinteiro José Ferreira de Melo foi preso e levado imediatamente à delegacia local, sob a acusação de ter incitado a massa flagelada ao saque de mercadorias no mercado municipal.
The peasants appeared satisfied with the mayor's offer for work, and they quietly dispersed. As the mayor even acknowledged their passivity, they signed up for work, after which they peacefully returned to their encampments, picked up their families, and moved to the neighboring city of Pentecost. Peaceful closure to a possibly violent conflict was apparent to all. However, a few hours later, the carpenter, José Ferreira de Melo, was arrested and immediately taken to the local police station, accused of inciting the impoverished masses to invade and pillage the local commerce.
O protesto dos retirantes em Tabagé não foi um ato isolado. A reunião, a ameaça, a invasão e o saque já haviam se tornado elementos positivos da cultura política dos camponeses, do semiárido nordestino e, para além disso, há opções de luta disponíveis no interior de um arsenal político bastante reduzido no contexto da seita.
The protest of dispossessed peasants in Tapajé was not an isolated act. Meetings, threats, invasions, and looting had become all part positive aspect of a common political culture among peasants in the semi-arid regions of Brazil, besides being the only option for struggle available in a dwindling political arsenal largely reduced by the drought itself.
Nos anos anteriores, quando a seca se espalhava pelos sertões, um amplo processo de destruição generalizada da produção camponesa de subsistência, os retirantes aprenderam a negociar com os poderosos e com as autoridades de maneiras novas, articuladas com a cultura paternalista das relações diretas e pessoais, baseadas na vontade e força dos grandes proprietários de terra, em troca de uma lealdade sempre instável dos trabalhadores. O protesto direto, o saque, no limite, aparece nesse contexto cultural como uma decisão radical que transgride os códigos paternalistas de passividade e paciência, mas que, ao mesmo tempo, contraditoriamente, pertence a esse mesmo universo de significados, forçando seus limites e ampliando as suas possibilidades.
Ok. In previous years, as the drought moved across the rural areas in the Brazilian Northeast, promoting large-scale destruction of the peasants' subsistence crops, the dispossessed learned to negotiate with power holders and local authorities in new ways, articulating their interaction within the structure of paternalist culture based on the demands and power of large landowners in exchange for the unstable loyalty of the workers. Direct action in this context emerges as a radical decision that transgresses the paternalist code of passivity and patience, but at the same time, it's an intrinsic part of the same universe, forcing the boundaries while creating new possibilities.
Pode-se dizer que uma tradição de ações da multidão ficou solidificada neste período, inspirando temor e respeito das populações urbanas e das autoridades locais, legitimando-se como a possibilidade concreta de ação popular. Uma cultura de rebeldia tradicional se estabelece entre os camponeses do Brasil, alterando as bases da negociação política e as formas de organização do trabalho na região.
In this sense, the tradition of direct action was consolidated during this period,
inspiring fear among some and respect for local urban populations and authorities alike. Legitimized as the omnipresent possibility of popular direct action, the tradition of rebellion became established among the peasants of the semi-arid regions, all through the basis for political negotiation, as well as the organization of work in the region.
As invasões, as ameaças e os saques, portanto, tornam-se visíveis e fazem parte da vida cotidiana de praticamente todo o estado do Ceará durante esses anos, como nos anos de 1957, 58 e outros mais recentes. Os mapas das ações das multidões retirantes e o mapa das ações das obras públicas se confundem no mapeamento geral dos conflitos sociais no mundo rural brasileiro.
The massive invasions and looting of the local warehouse becomes a common experience in the state of Ceará during the late 1950s, 57, 58, and even in more recent periods. The map of the direct mass action and the map of public works meld together into a broader political portrait of social conflict in rural Brazil.
Apesar da presença constante na vida cultural local e do impacto social das ações nas multidões, uma identificação entre essas ações de uma atitude subpolítica perdura insistentemente nas relações sociais em geral e nos estudos acadêmicos em particular. A construção de representações sobre hordas ou massas desgovernadas e descontroladas pela imprensa parece ser um ramo interessante das investigações sobre esse tema.
Despite the fact that mass action has its figures prominently in the region's local political culture, with visible social impact, the identification of these actions as non-political persists in the region's social relations as well as in academic studies. Representation of the peasants' actions, or the representation of the peasants as hordes or uncontrolled masses, particularly by the media, is an important aspect in this study.
De fato, a politização das ações das multidões parece sempre uma atribuição exterior operada por algum agente externo com o qual a multidão se relaciona, seja uma organização popular, sindicatos ou partidos, seja uma instituição estatal ou dependente da vida representativa, uma eleição ou uma disputa entre potentados locais. A dificuldade em qualificar politicamente os camponeses possui origens e significados diversos. De modo geral, contudo, essa dificuldade parece estar relacionada à definição do próprio conceito de política, com o qual as diversas forças sociais procuram entender as relações de poder e as formas e manifestações das vontades coletivas.
So, in fact, the political connotation of mass action was always attributed to external factors or agents that maintain relations with the workers, be it a union or a political party, be it a governmental institution, be it through the electoral process or the local political disputes. But the complex task of identifying politically the peasant movement generally is the difficulty that the task reflects in underlying issues of defining politics itself. How do distinct social forces seek to understand power relations and the forms of popular expression in the region?
Em primeiro lugar, esse conceito ganha seu significado no interior do campo de atuação do Estado, define não só o grau de politização das ações sociais, quanto sua eficácia. Assim, grosso modo, as ações políticas seriam aquelas que se dirigem contra ou a favor dos organismos estatais. O modelo hierárquico da estruturação das instituições ditas modernas, partidos, sindicatos, associações de classe, baseado na rígida separação entre dirigentes e executantes, torna-se o referencial básico para a identificação de formas políticas de organização e direcionamento das ações coletivas.
In the first place, the notion of politics draws significance within the peasants' interaction with the state. In this sense, political action is understood as those movements and mobilizations in favor or against state institutions. The basic principal aspect being the hierarchical structure of the modern sovereign institutions, political parties, labor organizations, and class associations, based on a rigid separation between leaders and activists, which forms the premises for which forms the basis for collective action.
É necessário, para esse entendimento, para a percepção de lideranças, cujo papel é fundamental para diferenciar os grupos coletivos organizados das ordens sem um objetivo definido. Por outro lado, os líderes podem ser responsabilizados judicialmente pelos resultados dessas ações que não correspondam aos parâmetros da legalidade constitucional. Somente as formas de organização popular, portanto, que correspondam a este modelo estabelecido, são reconhecidas como políticas e encontram canais de diálogo mutuamente identificáveis, tanto pelas organizações operárias de tipo moderno, partidos, sindicatos, etc., quanto pelas instituições estatais, prefeituras, órgãos públicos, etc.
In this context, a clear identification of leaders is essential to distinguish between organized, is important if we're to distinguish between organized masses and what is defined as hordes with no clear objective. At the same time, leaders are legally responsible for the outcomes of their actions when they move beyond the legal parameters, imposed. In this way, only forms of popular action that correspond, the only forms of popular action that correspond to this structure are acknowledged as political, and they are able to find a form of mutual dialogue, such as modern forms of organization, political parties, labor unions, so on. And the political process is then subscribed within the realms of the state structure, which likewise defines what is considered civilized, leaning towards forms of popular organization, and the defense of basic rights or customs to be considered barbarian, self-indulgent, non-collective, and outside the parameters of social interaction, based on the rules imposed by market relations.
Em segundo lugar, a política se define como uma atividade racional em que os fins são estabelecidos em função de objetivos traçados previamente. A identificação de uma ação como política pressupõe, nessa perspectiva, reconhecimento prévio de um programa geral no qual essa ação particular se insere. Dessa forma, uma conexão direta se estabelece entre a ação particular e o programa do qual deriva, fazendo com que seus significados sejam definidos nesta relação de pensamento e ação, de consciência ou vontade e concepção de um plano.
In second place, politics is defined as the rational activity whose objectives are established by pre-existing rules. The rational action with respect to its final objectives, as Bavarian criteria are. To identify an action as political is a second perspective, acknowledges a general program of which the action is included. In this sense, there's a link between the particular action and the problem from which it arrives, defining the process and the significance of the action from thought to action, from consciousness to the execution of the plan.
Fora desses parâmetros racionais, a ação é destituída de sentido, presa no campo de satisfação animal dos desejos ou necessidades. A fome, portanto, parece ser a representação ideal dessa manifestação irracional de revolta, quando os homens desesperados transgridem valores sociais básicos e ultrapassam a barreira do relacionamento tipo civilizado, cometendo violências contra a propriedade ou ameaçando diretamente as pessoas.
In this sense, outside of the rational parameters of action, action is void of meaning, understood as being the animalistic satisfaction of necessity. Hunger, in this sense, appears to have the ideal characteristics of the irrational revolt, when desperate men violate the basic social norms against poverty and threaten others.
Edward Thompson resumiu esse tipo de compreensão sobre as ações da multidão, no caso de sua pesquisa dos motivos da fome na Inglaterra no século XVIII, como visão espasmódica. Segundo ele, a fome não prescreve a ocorrência da ação, embora seja inevitavelmente um dos seus elementos legitimadores. A ação ocorre no interior do sistema de valores, expectativas e comportamentos que lhe confere sentido, em contextos específicos, legitimidade social.
So E.P. Thompson defined his special understanding of mass action, and in his case, the study of food riots in the 18th century England, as a spasmodic view. As he would argue, hunger doesn't prescribe the type of action, in spite of being undoubtedly a factor for its, legitimacy. Actions occur within a value system when expectations and behavior give meaning, context, and social legitimacy.
A ausência de uma solução ou a ausência de uma direção responsável pelo movimento parece, de um lado, dificultar a negociação pela inexistência de canais institucionais de diálogo e, de outro, neutralizar o seu potencial transgressor ou discutido. Procurei demonstrar que, no caso das ações dos veteranos, as secas fornecem esse elemento legitimador que impede ou neutraliza a repressão.
The absence of a responsible leadership for the movement at one hand creates difficulties for the negotiation, by the inexistence of institutional channels of dialogue. But on the other hand, it neutralizes the potential activists or destructivists. Because on one hand, the actions of the peasants, the drought itself legitimizes their action and neutralizes the possibility of repression.
Em face dessa poderosa legitimação e limitação da polícia, dos potentados locais e da justiça, por que José Ferreira de Melo foi preso após expulsar quanto muita multidão de famílias?
So, and with regard to this this very powerful legitimacy of the actions, why is it that the local police arrested José Ferreira Melo as a rioter?
A resposta parece se relacionar com as questões discutidas na sessão anterior. De fato, a invasão da prefeitura de Tabagé por uma multidão de retirantes famintos não se configurou como uma ação política a ser considerada, nem como uma ação criminal a ser punida. Não houve repressão imediata, nem perseguição posterior aos participantes do movimento, com exceção de José.
The answer seems to be related to one of the questions raised earlier. In fact, the invasion of the city hall of Tapache by the masses of hungry peasants did not configure as a political action, because it was neither considered a criminal action, and it wasn't considered a political action, and it was neither considered an action that needed to be punished. There was no immediate repression to the demonstrators, or even in the aftermath of the demonstration, with the exception of the arrest of José.
O prefeito não incluiu na política orçamentária do município verbas destinadas à compra preventiva de comida para os tempos de seca, nem cogitou incorporar ao seu programa de governo alguma das demandas subjetivas inseridas nas queixas dos camponeses pobres. Os camponeses, depois da seca, que se estendeu formalmente até o final de 1953, retornaram aos seus locais de origem, e certamente voltaram a encontrar os comerciantes e as autoridades ameaçadas, embora existam situações diferentes inseridas na rotina da dominação camponesa e das atividades agrícolas do município.
So, the mayor, on one hand, the mayor didn't include in the budget, in the city's budget, the necessary resources to buy food that would, would prevent the masses of peasants from going hungry in times of drought. Neither did he consider including in his program some of the demands that were raised by the peasants in their demonstrations. The peasants, on the other hand,
after the drought, which extended, went until 1953, formally went on until 1953, would later return to their places of origin on the big farms, and where they were established, where they returned to their relationships as sharecroppers. Returned to find the authorities and business owners of the city that they had threatened previously, but now in a different situation, where the return to this relationship of domination and the development of agricultural activities in the region.
No entanto, José Ferreira de Mello não retornou, porque nunca veio. No processo que resultou de sua prisão, ele é qualificado como brasileiro, solteiro, maior, carpinteiro, residente nessa cidade. E mais tarde, simplesmente pobre, embora soubesse ler e escrever. Sua participação na movimentação dos retirantes não esteve ligada diretamente à seca. Embora fosse pobre e naquele momento estivesse passando por privações, não teve suas fontes de sobrevivência solapadas pela distribuição das colheitas, nem se viu levado a optar entre migrar ou morrer de fome.
However, José Ferreira Melo didn't return because he never came. That means, in the process that resulted in his prison, he was qualified, he was identified as a Brazilian, not married, 29 years old, a carpenter and resident of the city. But later on, he was identified as being poor, even though he knew how to read and write. His participation in the movement of the dispossessed peasants was not directly connected to the drought, even though he was poor and hungry, and at that moment, he was passing necessities. He was in need of food. He had no other, he didn't have his means of survival destroyed by the droughts, and was not forced into forced migration and so as not to die of hunger.
Se, de um lado, a legitimação das ações da multidão esteja ligada ao número de camponeses arruinados pela seca, por outro lado, a presença de centenas de pobres nas cidades implica necessariamente na inserção de grupos urbanos empobrecidos e pobres. Em outros processos, com demandas semelhantes, apesar de participantes de outras redes de negociação política, se aproveitam momentaneamente da legitimidade do movimento.
In this sense, the legitimacy of the mass action is strictly connected to a group of peasants whose survival was destroyed by the drought. But on the other hand, the presence of hundreds of poor people from the cities implies the necessity of that in this movement there were groups of urban poor with similar demands. In spite of the fact that they participated in other networks of negotiation and political action.
Na cidade, a multidão ganha maior diversidade social. Incorpora outros movimentos de organização e formas de atividade política. A heterogeneidade da multidão, no que diz respeito à sua composição social, fornece um caráter popular de fluido ao protesto, e ganha características novas, às vezes muito diversas, da vida social no mundo rural de onde ela parte.
In the city, this mass of impoverished people gained a more social diversity and was incorporated, was joined by groups of organization and forms of distinct political activity, forming a heterogeneous mass of groups with respect to its social composition, giving it a character, a diffused character of popular protest. And gained new characteristics as the group became more and more diverse, even though its origins were in the rural movements.
No processo, José Ferreira de Mello afirmou primeiramente que acompanhou o movimento
convite de outros. E depois que estava em sua oficina de trabalho, quando compareceram cerca de 25 operários, gente oriunda de vários sítios dessa comarca.
As he was being tried, José Ferreira confirmed that at first he was following the movement invited by others, and that he was in his workshop working when 25 workers appeared and people from other parts of the city.
No depoimento, destaca-se que repetidos operários foram pedir ao interrogado para fazer o nome deles uma frente, a fim de tomar gêneros alimentícios nos estabelecimentos comerciais dessa cidade, que foi confirmado nos outros depoimentos das testemunhas de acusação. José teria aconselhado o gestiano a que primeiro se entendessem com o prefeito municipal, ao que educaram eles, que não sabiam expressar-se devidamente. E queriam que o interrogado servisse de intérprete junto àquela autoridade.
Besides this, during the interrogation, the other workers went to ask José that he be take the lead in presenting their demands because. Because they, basically what he says is the workers came to him and asked him to take a leadership role in the thing because they didn't have to speak. And he told them that they should first speak to the mayor, that would be the best way to try to resolve their problem.
Outro tema emerge dessas últimas linhas, o poder das palavras. José saberia expressar-se através da fala e assim saberia expressar os anseios e os sofrimentos dos retirantes famintos melhor até do que eles mesmos. Ele sabia ler e escrever, mas isso seria suficiente?
Yeah, another part of this is the power of the word. Since José knew how to read and write and he could express himself, he gained greater influence. In expressing the suffering and the desires of the poor and the hungry. He knew how to read and write, but that obviously this didn't seem to be enough.
O juiz Inácio Martins qualifica José Ferreira de Mello como pertencente às hostes do extinto Partido Comunista do Brasil, cujas diretivas ainda prega as cânceres no seio das classes desfavorecidas dessa comarca. Tempo depois, o promotor afirmou que o denunciado, sendo adepto do comunismo, instigou os flagelados a atentar contra o patrimônio alheio. Temos aqui as devidas conexões entre um projeto e um movimento, inserindo no protesto dos famintos um elemento político de interesse geral.
So, the process was ultimately sent to the military justice, and José Ferreira Mello was accused of being a member of the extinct Brazilian Communist Party, and who was organizing. And radicalizing the poor in the city of Itapeja. After that, carrying on with the first accusation, later on, adding to the accusations, the public prosecutor, Hugo Rocha de Carvalho, stated that the prisoner, as an adept of communism, instigated the poor and hungry masses against the private property. Here you can see the direct connection between the political project and the movement. in serving the protest of the hungry as an element of general political interest, even if they have different significances.
Para os agricultores de Somalia analfabetos, a presença de José poderia representar uma possibilidade a mais de entendimento com as autoridades baseada no domínio da palavra. Ampliava-se, assim, o leque de alternativas políticas para a multidão de retirantes, cuja força residia tradicionalmente no número e na exposição pública da miséria.
For the poor peasants, a majority of which were illiterate, José's presence represented the possibility of better explaining their demands to the local authorities, because he had the gift of word, of speech. Expanding the lack of the possibility of political alternatives that they would have, since their traditional power was based on public demonstration of their own misery.
Para os magistrados e para a autoridade em geral, a presença de um militante comunista entre os retirantes proporciona uma explicação racional e politicamente aceitável para o evento. A liderança exercida por um adepto do credo vermelho, de inspiração estrangeira, permitia aos poderes estatais criminalizar a ação dos camponeses, reduzindo-a a um projeto revolucionário de um dos participantes.
For the judicial system and the authorities in general, the presence of one communist activist amongst the poor was a rational explanation, a rational and politically acceptable explanation for the event. The leadership being led by the red bogeyman, with foreign inspiration or foreign origins, permitted the state powers to criminalize the actions of the peasants, and reducing the project as some foreign revolutionary inspired movement.
A invasão da prefeitura transforma-se na mera constatação de impulso político.
And the invasion of the mayor's office is transformed into a mere a movement to satisfy José's political aspirations. But the military justice ultimately didn't accept the charges, and they returned because of changes in the legislation and the process of the accusation. The process was returned to the common criminal justice system in a year later.
Depois disso, quando o processo retorna recomeça na justiça comum, o vocabulário e a forma de acusação de tratamento de José muda completamente.
As the process moves from one justice system to the other, the words and the formal accusations are also transformed and changed during this shift from one
Ele deixa de ser qualificado como comunista, como ativista que quer destruir as instituições e passa a ser visto apenas como um pobre coitado que adentre outros pobres coitados.
So as the process moves from one area of criminal justice to the other, he is not qualified anymore as a red communist organizer and rabble rouser. And he becomes seen just as one of the many poor, disenfortunate camp peasants who were participating in the movement.
Todo o vocabulário paternalista retorna ao processo e ele aparece apenas como mais uma vítima da seca.
And the, all the paternalistic discourse of the large landowners for the poor is introduced again, is that he becomes just one more of the poor, unfortunate peasants who was hungry at the time.
José foi absolvido.
And he's freed of his charges.
E a conclusão que eu posso chegar apenas é que ele não foi preso por ter incitado os pobres a saquearem o comércio de alimentos, mas simplesmente porque ele era comunista.
And, you know, in the end, the fact is, the reasons for his arrest weren't because he was inciting the masses to revolt, but he was arrested because he was a communist.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to present my work and I'll do it.
Is anybody going to translate it into Portuguese?
Right. Well, and the fact is, since he knows it, he's read the Portuguese version of it, so he can just sit back now and relax. Just by way of introductions, most of my interest for this research project is in the study of right-wing working class organizations and the idea of basically why do they exist, how do they emerge, where do they find popular support in this work for what would be politically and ideologically issues and questions which are really anti-working class. So why is it that, and if organization is at the basis of hiding class consciousness, then how is it leading to right-wing movements? In many cases, obviously. And the subject that I of my investigation is an organization called the Workers Legion of Seattle that emerged in the 1930s. And it's, it gives rise to and becomes the basis from which the fascist Brazilian movement is going to take off. So it's actually from this working class organization you'll get the foundations for a broader right-wing and fascist movement in Brazil, a proto-fascist type mirroring Mussolini's black shirts. Some allusion to nationalism. So basically this part of my research covers the recipient organization of this Workers' Legion of Seattle and what were the social and political contexts in which it was formed. So on August 23rd, 1931, approximately 6,000 workers filed into the José de Alencar Theater. Oh, and so there's two terms I'm going to use alternately so you will understand what it is. One is the term integralism, integralismo, which is this fascist movement that is formed in Brazil in the mid-30s. And the second is the LCT. And LCT is the Legion of Workers of Seattle. So, So in 1931, approximately 6,000 workers filed into the chapter of Jardianica to attend the inauguration of the LCD. A little over a year later, with similar fanfare, on November 15, 1932, Ação Integralista Brasileira, the Integrist movement, was also publicly organized in Sierra. The emergence of the two organizations in succession is not by chance, and reflects a major shift in the formation of working class in Fortaleza. The emergence of conservative working class organizations over time is an important aspect of how competing notions of class identity and class formation mirror the particular aspects of social, economic, and political development in society. The history of Sierra, and specifically the city of Fortaleza, are very rich in the organization and of right-wing and conservative working class movements. And that's why I chose the city to do my research. Organizations such as the Legion of Workers of Sierra, the Integrist Movement, and the Catholic Workers Circle, all give rise to this very strong conservative bent that's going to be focused on organizing the working class of the city. The importance and implications of this research are twofold. First, it provides a comprehensive perspective of class formation and informs the historical development of class organizations in a broader process of capitalist development. Second, the study of class formation helps expand the long-term view how regional, cultural, societal values and politics define class identity amongst distinct groups of workers. A significant aspect of this equation is the workers' response to the prevailing social structure and the way in which the process shaped competing political alternatives. This process occurred through both formal and informal political action and organization was an essential component of a deeply contested political terrain. The formal and informal organization reflected both the complex political and distributed response to shifting local responses in the broader political economic context of the period. This process is also reflected in the changing characteristics and responses of the workers in the city, pressured by the constant influx of migrant workers from rural regions of the state and the shifting social hierarchies of overlapping spaces of the government. That is, you have a process of a radical transformation of what you developing capitalism in this region, both politically and economically. But at the same time, for workers, this process is being pressured by, in some part, what was presented by Professor Federico is these masses of poor peasants who are invading the capital city in search of food, water, means of survival, as this is a region where there are long-term droughts, and this leads to forced migration and over multiple periods of time. Overlapping stages of development illustrate a growing, albeit limited, political alternatives available to workers. That is, the way in which workers transform their formal representation, expand their participation as political actors within the sphere of institutional politics. Finally, this process is also shaped by their actions and issues, the actions and interests of political forces, amongst which the Roman Catholic Church is very prominent in this process. The historical study of class in politics is informed by theoretical discussions of class identity and class formation as an empirical study of class-based collective action that illustrates the ways in which workers organize themselves. In large part, this study draws on notions of class and power and community in a structured way. In large part, that were developed by Clarence Stone, his community's power relations structure. The intersection of some working class organizations with the interest of business elites is an important factor for this study. Right? And what you'll see in large part is that the movement, although it controls a large working class base, this legion of workers has a very huge influential base within society. Its leadership all draws on Catholic theoreticians, The attraction of significant sectors of the city's working class with conservative ideals and organizations is not by chance. Rather, deeply relevant in theory and in literature, offered a socioeconomic and political alternative that incorporated long-standing social, cultural, and religious beliefs within the framework of a corporatist paternalist social order that capitalism, that these new norms of capitalist relationships will challenge within the city. In his book, Integralismo in March, the March of Integralism, Gustavo Barros, who's a nationally recognized author and Catholic theoretician, illustrates the distinct ways in which integralismo drew on regional geocultural representations and imagery. And he goes into this long explanation of how the origins of Brazilian fascism are represented in the imagery of the region. So it's, for anybody who knows the northeast of Brazil, one of the images, it's a semi-arid region, so the cactus is very prominent. And so he goes into describing the imagery of the cactus as the strong resistance to, and the resistance of the working class to the challenges of capitalism. And in many ways, the fundamental elements of integralism were present, even if in permanent conflict with the emerging liberal state. Social change, represented by stability and order in a moment of significant political transformations, both regionally and nationally, allowed integralism to emerge amongst Ceará's workers, less in the words of its national leader, who was Plínio Salgado, and more as a reflection of the city's prominent intellectual and business elites, right? Such as Dom El da Câmara, who, if anybody knows a little bit of Brazilian history, in later years becomes a major piece of Catholic bishop that will be very influential in the struggle against the dictatorship. But at this time, he's a part of this, he's one of the organizers of this fascist movement in the city. A lieutenant from the army, Jeová Mota, and the writer Gustavo Barros, amongst other prominent figures. Likewise, it's not by chance that one of the original organizers of the integralist movement in the city, of the fascist movement in the city, Severino Sombra, who was also the founder of the Workers' League. And the Workers' League provides the financial resources for the organization of the fascist movement in the city. It's through contributions of the workers themselves. Even though Sombra leaves the integralist movement shortly after its organization, the two organizations are tied at the hip and they survive together. And not only do they survive in the city and they create this massive basis of right-wing conservative unions, you know, joining right-wing conservative, but they serve as the basis then to expand the fascist movement throughout the northeastern region of Brazil. They're going to move to other states, and other states are also going to gain, the fascist movement is going to gain this very popular based on the model that they developed in Ceará. So they'll move to the state of Maranhão, and they look at it as being a popular working class movement, and not as being something, even though, you know, and there's some discussion amongst Brazilian historians as to if integralismo is this middle class movement. But in the northeast of Brazil, in the southern part of Brazil, it is a middle class movement. In the northeast of Brazil, it is a highly working class movement, even proportionally, while, for example, in the state of Maranhão, it takes on, it has maybe 8% from the middle classes and local businesses. The membership is about 40% working class. So it takes on a highly class structure. The other problem is that this class conflict within the movement itself is going to actually serve to break off the leadership from some of the new working class or syndicalist ideals of fascism are not being represented within the movement. And some, like Michel Balmarca, who was one of the founders and leaders of the Integralismo, go so far as to leave the fascist movement and join the Communist Party, seeing in some kind of vague search for how to defend the working class. So his idea is that he's got to defend the working class. Check away from that. For the organization of labor, for Gustavo Barroso, the actions of the integralistas are a key component. And you'll see that in most of their literature, that the ideal of protecting the working class, this paternalist Catholic idea that the working class need protection, not only from the employers, but also from the communists, right? So in large part, it's an alternative to the communist organization and the actions of the Communist Party in the late 30s in Brazil. The one problem with this research, and I'm going to close because this is the main problematic one, is so the idea of rising class consciousness and the fact that workers would readily affiliate to fascist movements, and most of the historiography at the time uses the argument that religion is the main course of the main reason for this, and say, well, you have all these Catholic organizations and so on and so forth, and they're the ones that are prompting workers to move into fascist organizations. But the fact of the matter is, and that workers were in this region naturally highly religious and then influenced by the Catholic Church. But the problem with that is, if you look at the historiography of the region, there are other regions where the Communist Party is extremely influential. The cities, and within the same state, for example. So could you say that in the regions where the Communist Party was more influential, the workers were less Catholic? I don't think so. I mean, right? So if that's the case, then religion can't be the problem. The church could be a problem, but religion itself and the way the workers relate to religion can't be a problem. And that's one of the primary that I'm working on.
Okay, I just have a question, Bill. In the United States, the Catholic social justice movement, which I guess was more commonly in France and other countries, that led to many different tendencies. It led to Dorothy Day, the Association for Catholic Trade Unionists, and Father Coughlin, who was also part of that social justice tradition. And in fact, the Coughlinite trade union group led by Richard Frankenstein was an integral and founding force in the United Auto Workers Union. I was just wondering whether the Catholic theoreticians you were referring to were also part of the same social justice trend? Was integralism part of that same social justice trend? And were there these diverse trend tendencies in that social justice trend? In the United States, the only thing that united them seems to be was anti-communism.
I think in Brazil you don't get Dorothy Day, you just get caught. So, you know, the more humanist type of, you know, Dorothy Day has, you know, what I would say, she has a very humanist type of approach to, you know, this whole idea of social justice and so on. You know, cognitive, rapid, you know, what it is.
He came to prominence fighting the Ku Klux Klan originally.
Yeah. Here, they're fighting communists. Their idea is that a Third International, the Communist Party, and at the same time, this other organization that the Communists were organizing, the National Liberation Alliance, were growing, and they needed to create an alternative for the working class. But behind all of this, theoretically, what's giving consistency to this whole discussion is this idea that, in a broad sense, Brazil was changing politically, was transforming the structure, imposing notions of liberal democracy and market relations and so on. So if you look at a lot of the material that the fascists are producing and that the communists are producing, and if you don't know, if you don't see who's signing, you can't, the claims are the same. Down with imperialism, down with the bosses, protect the work. I mean, it's all pretty much, so if you don't look at it, so they're competing, but with different objectives. On one hand, the communists, say, the liberal state offers, a renewed form of reorganizing work relations. And here the interviewer is saying, well, no, but we're against this for the other reason. We want to go back to the old paternalist this relationship of, where we're going to protect the workers and create this corporate relationship. And so much so that this whole idea, what happens ultimately in CIR, is that this basis for negotiating relations that emerges from the workers' league, this idea of arbitration, comes out of the workers' league as a way of them negotiating the relationship between workers and employers, and ultimately becomes institutionalized into the first structure of labor justice in the state, the first organizer. So when you go into, for example, the hall of the labor tribunal in Ceará, and there's the picture of the organizer of fascism is the founder of the Ministry of Labor's labor relations structure, negotiating, and they have, So the whole thing, kind of, the state corporatism and the corporatism proposed by Interlude kind of melds. And at one point, what you have is a dispute for who's going to control the structure. The way that the state actually ultimately deals with it is to hand it over to okay, so you have the opportunity to look for the state. But all you get is the comments. You don't get the
Great. And for me, it's like one of the nice things about this conference is we get to hear about, history and struggle of workers outside the United States. And it sort of reminds me of how much more I need to learn and other people need to learn. And so listening to you talk about, one of the questions I had is whether or not, if you talk about the workers being in Fortaleza having a different political composition than other parts of Brasilia where there were communists and left-wing, I wonder to what degree that had to do with, because all the readers are Catholic, to what degree did it have to do with the history of the stronger results on the part of paternalistic movements of grassroots people, moved peasants as before they became, workers in a new changing towards capitalist relation, that they had this history that workers would feel more comfortable then or feel that they could trust more this pro-Catholic and pro kind of working with the bosses like they worked with the old Latifundia to negotiate their desires. So I don't know if there was a different history of peasant movements' success relatively in getting some of their needs met from the land that aristocracy in Fortaleza that might have led them to do that. Another question I had, inappropriate probably, but just whether or not this is seen as connected to things like or similar to the Peronist movement in Argentina, which is a multi, it's got fascists and left wingers in it, but the other kind of Christian Democrat that based trade unions in other parts of Latin America. Did they see themselves as connected to other movements in Latin America, or was it really kind of local?
I'm going to refer this question to him, but he's the specialist in the history of Sierra.
Que é comentado para a conversa de comissão de diferentes chamadas.
My biggest fear is to
say
no.
That's a great conversation, you know, baby.
No.
Second question is no.
Yeah. The first one is, what happens is, where you'll see in the state, where you'll see the larger influence of the country, and then this obviously, I get a kick out of it. He says it's because they're port cities.
Yes.
And in port cities, you have larger.
American workers are better, right?
Yeah, well, in port cities, somebody might have you guys. He said, normally, yeah, they are. So there's this you know, mixture, including in the city, the port cities, where the communists are stronger. The ports are bigger even than in the capital. And so there's a larger exchange of ideas, of workers moving in and out. And this gives, because they're all Catholic, but they're different types of relationships of looking at the church. So that probably gives a different basis for forming the working class movement as opposed to the Catholics. And the second answer is no.
To
Latin American right wing class organization.
Next question. Francisco, one of the things that's unclear in the first paper is whether Josefa was a communist, whether he was just accused of being a communist. Because those are, I know he knew how to read, and that
was dangerous.
But whether he was or just accused seems to be, or was connected in some ways to the left, was important, seems to be an important issue. Second thing, I was struck by in this question of Catholics and the Catholic right, and it was also in some ways related to Jay's question about what happened here and in other countries, is the right does begin to, has to appeal to the people. And develops a kind of left language, even to support right-wing organizations, that then backfires, right? Because then they get workers, and workers say, okay, yeah, we're in favor of social justice. And then when the right-wing sort of diverges from that, are held to account by their own base, which accounts for the role of pregnancy in the UAW. May account for the fact this bishop who goes from being a fascist to being sort of involved in liberation theology is that they're told by the right that, yes, we speak for social justice, but they don't really mean it, right? And then say, well, we mean it. We want to be involved. Is that sort of what happened in Brazil, that some of the Catholics who get won over by the sort of social justice appeals, which I think J.H. Wright comes out of the Pius XII and Mary of Arm kind of tradition in the church, but they don't, the right wing doesn't
there's an accusation that he's a communist, and there's legal proceedings against him that he's a communist. But he hasn't yet found any proof within the documents of the Communist Party that he was a member or that, you know, even from his family. So this is something that he's still trying to figure out.
But being a literate worker was seen as being on the left, right?
Era letrado e um operário já.
Agora ele era visto como comunista, ele era tido como comunista na cidade. Lembrando que o Partido Comunista é ilegal.
He was seen, he says, yeah, it's true, right? If you're literate and a worker in the place of. In the city, everybody thought he was a communist. But at a time when the Communist Party was illegal, it was underground. talking. And so there's no, this is not actually a bad, well, this is actually not a very good thing at a time when the park's too legal. You know, known as the town commune. Ideology as it is by desire to organize working class, independent of how that means.